This morning's first reading is from the 17th chapter of Exodus, verses 4 through 7. So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
So our New Testament lesson comes from the letter to the Ephesians, one of my favorite passages, I think, in all the Pauline letters. There's a lot of faith content in these chapters. So I'm going to be reading chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. So listen once again for God's word to us. "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raises us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them." This is the word of the Lord. Remember, Caroline and I, we used to, as you probably remember, we used to live in Florida, and one of the things we liked to do was make an occasional trip to Epcot Center. We didn't live too far away from it, and they always had in the spring a wonderful flower and garden festival, which she loved. So that was great. But a highlight for me, if you've ever been there, there are these musical acts that play in each of the countries, you know, that they have at Epcot down there. And I think it was in Canada's center. They had a band with men wearing kilts, playing electric guitars, bass, drums, and bagpipes. It was wonderful. Oh, it was wonderful. It just spoke to my Scottish roots and my love of, you know, old classic rock. But what I really loved was their name. They called themselves Off Kilter. And it was about right. I love those guys. If you've ever heard bagpipes playing rock songs, you'll agree that was well named. You left feeling a little unbalanced, you know, a little off kilter. Off kilter means that, right? It means out of balance, out of harmony. When we're a little off kilter, we can sense it. We can feel it. That word comes from an old English word from way back in the 1500s, but kind of fell out of use, but we instinctively, I think, know and feel what it means. So as we study the scriptures, a theme emerges over and over again that we need to be in balance, in harmony, in the balanced way of Jesus Christ. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, one way to look at that balance is something we talk about, you know, often in Lent, traditionally known as this balance between faith and works, right? The Ephesians chapter I read kind of brings those together. And it's really a recipe for discipleship, which is in harmony with who we know Jesus to be. So this Pauline writer writes that it is by grace that you've been saved. What does that saved word mean to you? I think each of us have our own understanding of that, but I think the gospel passage from John 3:16-17 frames it so well. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have life eternal. Ephesians puts it this way. Ephesians says, it is by grace we are saved. I think that's just a beautiful passage talking of the love of God. But it doesn't end there. That's not the full picture of discipleship. God doesn't give us this amazing gift just for our private enjoyment. One person said, God gives us this grace for deployment in the world. That's the other half of discipleship, which keeps us from getting off kilter in our walk with God. So the Ephesians text that I read uses what I call the gospel of prepositions. Now think back to your old English class in seventh grade, whatever a preposition is, by, through, and for. By grace, through faith, for works, and I add, unto life abundant. If you can remember by, through, and for, and unto, you have the essence of the Christian life. By grace, through faith, for works, unto life. Keeping those things in harmony and in balance is the key to a rich life of faith and a healthy church as well. Or if you recall, last week, Jesus put it another way when he calls his followers to be salt and light, light of the world, salt of the earth. Have you ever seen someone trying to have that kind of that deep spiritual experience, but they're not really interested in bringing light into dark places? They might be off kilter in their walk. Or if you see somebody working so hard to be the healing agent, be the salt of the earth, but they don't tend to a spiritual life, they might be off kilter as well. It's all best when it works together. Well, here's another way to think of it that I always appreciated. It was a late night talk show host decided to interview a man who had turned 100 years old. And the host was talking to this man, and he asked in a serious tone, not trying to be funny, but he's trying to say, you know, I wish it was possible for you to share the secret of living to be 100 years old. And the man said, oh, it's simple. Just keep breathing. That's good advice. Now, if you were to ask him, what's more important, inhaling or exhaling? He might say both. There's spiritual wisdom in that too. We come to worship, we come to Bible study, we do our daily devotion or prayer to inhale the Word of God, the love and the grace of God, right? So that we can exhale it to the world, forgiving people, caring for people, working for justice, feeding the hungry, bringing salt and light. That is in balance, faith and works. One without the other is really off kilter. We know that even churches can fall into this pattern at times. Yeah, it seems today when we look at some churches across the country, they're intensely interested in personal salvation and individual faith. They turn a blind eye on rampant injustice or hunger or violence, or they make excuses for the abuse of women and children. Or conversely, some across the country will work so hard to make the world a better place, but they forget to walk humbly with their God while doing so. It seems to realize their power, they need to have both together. There was a story about famous industrialist Andrew Carnegie from Pittsburgh. That wealthy industrialist, he made so much money, he decided to buy his own train car. That was a big thing back then, you know, for the wealthy. His own train car for travel around the country in the 1800s, and it was the most luxurious train car you could imagine. He instructed his staff not to bother him while he was in there working or maybe resting. One night, a waiter came in and said, "Mr. Carnegie, you need to get off this train." And he said, "What? This is the best train money can buy. What are you talking about? What's wrong with it?" And the waiter sheepishly said, "Well, the engine left 2 hours ago, and you weren't connected to it." Private car was sitting on the tracks, uncoupled from the rest of the train. No matter how nice it was pretty useless. But the point is, in order to make a difference in the world that we want to, we have to be connected to something, the Holy Spirit, power of the living Christ. Otherwise, it's easy to get off track. It's easy to get burned out. It's easy to get weary in well-doing. On the positive side, I've found, and I bet you have too, wherever you see the full gospel of Christ preached, you will also see radical acts of love in the world. That is discipleship in balance. It's nothing new. It's been true since the very first followers of Jesus. So one of the things that we always seek in the Spirit's guidance is, How do we focus our good works, you know, our mission opportunities as a church going forward in a world that just seems to change so rapidly, it's hard to keep up with. At least in my tradition, the PCUSA, that idea comes down to us from the very founding of the American church, especially. 1706, a pastor named Francis McKenney came to Philadelphia, began the first presbytery, and he literally came with, you know, a Bible in one hand and seeds in the other. McKenney knew that the new settlers were not farmers, and they were hungry. So in addition to worship, he taught the new settlers how to grow food and survive. It's in balance, faith and works, by grace through faith, for works unto life. One of my former churches was on the west coast of Florida. And since being down there, I was invited to be part of the board of directors for the biggest farm worker ministry the PCUSA has in the country. It's called the Bethel Farm Worker Ministry. Did you know PCUSA had a mission like that? We had a terrific director, a guy named Dave Moore. And our big plan at the time, it was based in the Tampa area. Our big plan at the time was to expand into the Immokalee area, down near Naples, Florida, which they have since. But it was to serve migrants there who who were in, you know, desperate need of many, many things. So our board put together an elaborate plan. You know, we're going to buy land, we're going to construct a building, we're going to secure some funding. The whole thing was about $400K back then. Then all of a sudden, the land sale fell through and just stopped the project right in its tracks. The very next week, without us knowing it, Dave, our director, just goes out and buys a mobile home for about $40K, one-tenth of the project cost, and just drove down from Tampa to where the need was. Three mornings a week, started out with. He had coffee and tortillas and morning worship service before work in the fields, a place to take, you know, a break at midday, Spanish language help with any concerns or needs, you know, right there at this motorhome. When Dave took a picture of that in action, we on the board were all amazed, and we couldn't help but notice that the model, the manufacturer's logo that was painted in huge letters on the side of the RV said the word Spirit. Spirit and service. That was being in balance. That was inhaling God's love and exhaling to a world in need. How'd Dave come up with that? Well, maybe he followed the gospel of prepositions. By grace, through faith, for works, unto life. May it be so for each of us. Thanks be to God.